message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
There's never been a day when the Word of God was needed as it's needed today. Folks, the Bible is the bedrock upon which life must be built if life is to be lived in a stable and successful manner. But you know, as we approach the Word of God, we must approach it as it is in truth the Word of God. It's absolutely essential that we come to the Word of God understanding that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is God's Word. God breathed it out. He spoke it out. He literally chose the words and spoke them out. And they've been recorded. Scripture means that which is written down. They've been written down and recorded for us and preserved through history, and you and I have them available to us in our own language as English-speaking people in the King James Bible. That's a marvelous thing that God has multiplied His Word in the languages of the nations, and that you and I today can even have it in our language. It's the living Word of God. And we need to approach it that way. We need to understand that God has said that He's exalted His Word above His name. My friend, the Word of God, the written Word of God, is the means whereby you and I have contact with the living Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we're going to get the profit out of this blessed book that God's put in it for us, we have to approach it God's way. That's why Paul says we're to rightly divide the Word of truth. That is, we're to come at the Word of God the way God would have us to. You understand that expression, rightly dividing? We're not just to divide up, make divisions in the Word of God. We're to rightly do it. Now, if you're to rightly do it, the implication is you might wrongly do it. So we have to come at it in the correct, proper way to make the distinctions and the divisions that God makes in His Word. Now, we've said to you on this program time and again that if Paul tells you to do something, it's logical, it's only acceptable and right to ask Paul how you ought to do it. Paul's the one that tells us to rightly divide the Word. And it's fascinating that God has, through the pen of Paul, told us how to do it in Ephesians chapter 2. And an issue in Ephesians chapter 2 that is so basic to the understanding of the Word of God, if you're ever going to grasp God's Word, you've got to understand this issue. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. It's critical that you and I understand what this middle wall of partition is all about. And it's identified in verse 11 and 12 as being a distinction between the circumcision on one hand and the uncircumcision on the other. There is that which is the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, and then there are those who are called the the uncircumcision. And he says in verse 12 that in time past back here, that you uncircumcised were without Christ. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to these people up here. The earthly ministry of Christ in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John pertain to the nation Israel. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. God had made covenants with these people. He'd given promises to these people up here. He'd given them His law. God Almighty held relationships with these people, and these people down here were without God and without hope in the world. Now, that's changed in the dispensation of grace. When you move from time past to what he calls, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ and the church, the body of Christ today that God is forming. This distinction has been done away with through the fall of Israel. Salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now in verse 14 there, when he talks about having broken down the middle wall of partition, this thing here, this distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision is called the middle wall of partition. And that middle wall of partition in there, if I can spell it right, that middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile was a barrier that kept these people out from the blessings of God that belonged to these people up here. That situation where the way God deals with men is on the basis of a distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision, that distinction has been done away with today. We live in a dispensation of the grace of God. And the dispensation of grace is identified and explained, and its doctrines are expounded in the books of Romans through Philemon in your Bible, which are the Pauline epistles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ to the nation Israel. In the book of Acts, you have the fall of Israel, salvation going to the Gentiles. And in Romans through Philemon, you have the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, we've been studying in our time together. We've been looking at time past back here, and we've been studying the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is the central person of our faith. He's the Savior of the world. And as the Apostle Paul says, that in Him is we find our all in all. And when you come over to Paul's epistles, you'll find that the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is everything to Paul. That's the thing that's so wonderful about preaching grace. Grace is all that God is free to do for us through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary when He died for our sins. Grace is the preaching and the revelation of all that God has accomplished for us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He poured out His life's blood at Calvary for the free and total and complete payment for everything that's wrong with us. He was buried and He was raised again the third day for our justification. Grace is the preaching. Paul calls this message the preaching of the cross, the proclamation of all that God has accomplished through Calvary. But my friend, that preaching of the cross and that message of grace, all sinners and everything God ever does in the past, in the present, or in the future out there, when the Messiah will come back and redeem Israel and set up His kingdom, when He comes to catch the church, the body of Christ out, and we go into the heavenly places with Him, and in the weeks ahead, we're going to spend a lot of time studying about those future times out there. All that God accomplishes in the future out there will always be based on the blood of Jesus Christ. Everything God ever does is centered in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a shock to people, therefore, when they come to the ministry of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to find that the Lord Jesus Christ excluded the Gentiles from His ministry. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He ministered only to the nation Israel. It comes as quite a surprise to people to find the Lord Jesus Christ, for example, in John chapter 4, verse 22, speaking to a Samaritan woman, saying that salvation is of the Jews, not of the Samaritans. It comes as a surprise to many people to find the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 10, in the very first great commission that He gave to the apostles, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper," and so forth. The healing ministry that Christ had in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was confined to the nation Israel. The preaching ministry that he sent out with the apostles was confined to the nation Israel. The gospel of the kingdom that they preached was confined to the nation Israel. It comes as a shock to many to find the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 15:24 rebuking His apostles by saying, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." How can it be that our Lord, who we know is the Savior of all men, how can it be that He would have restricted His earthly ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just to Israel? Why would He have done that? What possibly could have been going on in the program of God? Well, my friend, if you're ever going to understand that, If your Bible's ever going to mean to you what God wants it to mean, you'll have to understand this distinction between the circumcision and the uncircumcision as in the program of God and the basis of God's operating with men in time past. Come with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter number 11. Exodus chapter 11. Exodus 11, you see the distinction that Christ made between Israel and the Gentiles, and the excluding of the Gentiles and the ministering only to Israel was not anything new. It was the way God had dealt with men all through time past back there. In Exodus 19, verse 11, Moses says to Israel, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." You see, God Himself put a difference between Israel and the Gentiles. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 4 in one hand. Deuteronomy chapter 4 in one hand and Psalm chapter 40, Deuteronomy 4, let's get these passages straight, and Psalm 147. Deuteronomy 4 and Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 19, the Bible says, talking about God, "He showeth His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgment unto Israel." Now listen, "He has not dealt so with any nation. And as for His judgments, they," the Gentiles, "have not known them." God Almighty gave Israel His word. He gave Israel His law. He gave Israel His statutes. He gave Israel His judgments. He didn't give them to these people. That's why in Romans chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says, "The Gentiles which had not the law." Why? God gave them to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. You see, when Christ restricts His ministry and the ministry of His apostles to Israel, He's not doing something new. He's just continuing what had always been the policy of God from way back in time past. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 5. Moses is talking to Israel and says, "I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should go in and do and possess the land. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as this nation?" You see, no nation was as near to God as Israel. They were all cut off, separated by this middle wall of partition that God had placed between them. Now you say, well, why is all of that? What's the purpose for all of that? What's the reason for all of that? Well, to understand it, go back with me to Genesis chapter number 12. In Genesis chapter number 11, in your Bible, you have the Tower of Babel. And at the Tower of Babel, in Genesis chapter number 11, the nations of this earth, the Gentiles, gathered themselves together against the Lord. And they, the Bible says, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They walked in their own way, and they said, "We don't want God." They rejected God. They changed the truth of God. And the Bible says that God gave them up to walk in their own ways, in their own ignorance. And God Almighty gave them up to a reprobate mind. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. He said, okay. And you know, the worst judgment God can ever make against sin is just to leave you to yourself. What men call sophistication and liberation from the Victorian morals of the past and all that business, what you call sophistication and permissiveness and just getting away and no conscience of sin and getting all the things out of the closet, kind of speak, What that's a testimony to is not sophistication. It's just a testimony to the fact that God doesn't mess with you anymore. That there's no conviction for sin. That God's given you up. See? And the worst thing that ever happened is God just give you up to your sin, because the wages of sin is death. 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 See, that's what He gave you up to. So God gave them up, and then He chose out He didn't give up himself. He didn't give up his purpose. He didn't quit having a testimony in the earth. He just gave up the Gentile nations that didn't want him. And he called out a man by the name of Abraham in Genesis chapter number 12. Verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now watch. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The nations of the earth didn't want God, so God gave them up to a reprobate mind, to their worthless ways of thinking. He called out one man who did believe God, who would trust God, who did respond positively to his word. And he said, I'll make you a blessing. I'll separate you up here and make a nation of you. And I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. And in thee, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. If these people down here are going to get salvation and blessing, they're going to have to come up here and get it from you, because I'm going to give it to you. And if these people get it, they'll have to come up here to you and get it. God left himself, did not leave himself without a testimony. He raised up a channel of blessing that could go to the nations. That's why the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, comes through Israel. Now, go with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 17. When God separated Abraham out, he erected a middle wall of partition, a separation between the Gentiles and Israel. And he did it through circumcision. Genesis chapter number 17, verse number 6. Talking to Abraham, he's changed his name here from Abraham to Abraham. And he said, I will make thee exceeding fruitful, Genesis 17, 6. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant. And it shall be unto thee, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God promised Abraham the land, a nation to live in the land, and a throne to rule over that nation that lived in the land as an everlasting possession. People, God Almighty, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God Almighty owns this planet. You say, well, I don't like that. It doesn't make a lot of difference. Listen, if you want to be your own God, I'll tell you what you do. You step out in out of your living room into your front yard and create your own universe and live in it, and you can be God. You say, well, you know I can't do that, preacher. That's right, you can't be God. See, you're not God, you're a creature. And the way you know you're not God is you can't create your own universe. If you can go create your own universe, have at it. Go be God. But you can't do it. And when you can do it, you can be God. And if you can't do it, you can't be God. That's why we try to create our own little world in our thinking, intellectually, financially, socially. Create our own little world where we can be God. But you aren't God, buddy, because you can't create the air. You got to breathe to keep your body clicking along. And if you aren't going to do anything with what's yours, you got to quit breathing God's air. And you won't last very long if you do that, and you know it. So, I mean, God's God. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, brother. And that land over there in Palestine belongs to Almighty God. And God Almighty has deeded it to Abraham and to his seed. So there's not any argument about who owns it. God owns it. And God chose to give it to Abraham. So God gave the title deed to it to the seed of Abraham. Now, when he made that covenant with Abraham, verse number 11, you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. God gave Abraham the sign of circumcision as a token, an outward manifestation in his flesh of the covenant status that he had with God. And he tells him down there in verse 14 that anybody that was not circumcised is to be cut off from the people. In other words, this thing is a great dividing point. Now later on, God gave Israel the law, and he added the law to circumcision. And when he added the law to the Abrahamic covenant, it didn't disannul it. What it did is it fortified that middle wall of partition. It made it stronger and it made it impregnable by God giving statutes and laws and rules and regulation that Israel was to go to by, and these people down here weren't. And it was designed to make them more and more a separately identifiable group that stood out as God's people. Now, in time past, if a Gentile down here wanted to get God's blessing and salvation, he had to go up there and get it from Israel. There are three gates in that middle wall of partition. That middle wall of partition across there is an impregnable barrier between the Gentile and the Jew, the Israel up here, except that God has allowed three doors in that middle wall of partition. You can't climb over it, you can't dig under it, but you can come up and go through the doors, the means of access for this man down here to have access to the salvation of God. Three doors. Number one, a Gentile could become a proselyte. That is, he could literally become a Jew. He could become one of the circumcision. Come with me to Exodus chapter number 12. The first means is that of being a proselyte. In Acts chapter number 2, verse number 10, Peter describes at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost that there were many strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. That is, there were people there who were Gentiles by birth, but who had become circumcised and joined the nation Israel. They had literally become part of Israel. Exodus chapter 12, verse 48. When a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. If a Gentile out here wants to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and come and partake of Israel's Passover and Israel's blessings, he is to become he is to be circumcised. That is, he is to become one of the nation Israel, join himself to them, be circumcised, and then he is to have the status as though he were one born in the land. We call it in our country become a naturalized citizen. You're born an American, or you can be from another country and come here and become an American citizen. Same thing here. These people, and the way they did it was to be circumcised. Take hold of God's covenant and be circumcised as a religious rite that joined them to the nation. First door, a Gentile could become one of the circumcision. He could be a proselyte. But go with me back to Genesis chapter number 12 now. There's another way. Genesis chapter 12. Say this Gentile didn't want to become a Jew. He didn't want to become a part of the nation Israel. He wanted to remain a part of the nation that he was born in. But he understood that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was the true God of heaven and earth. What would he do? Genesis 12 verse 3. I will bless them that do what? Bless thee. That is, the second door is that man could bless the nation Israel. He could go to Israel and bless them and take care of them. Illustration is Rahab the harlot. You remember in Joshua chapter 2 that Rahab the harlot was, she protected those spies that came in there to spy out the city. And she protected the spies and she let them down out the window and so forth. And there's the scarlet thread. And she blessed Israel. She protected Israel. She blessed those men. And thus she and her house were spared and were given a position in the blessings of God in Israel. So they can bless Israel, or another way of saying it is they could be subjects, subject themselves, be submissive to Israel, come through a Jew to get the blessing. For example, in Matthew chapter 25, the Lord talks about some people. Come with me to Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. In Matthew 25, the Lord tells about some people in the tribulation. He said, when they did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, they did it unto me. They blessed Israel. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it came to pass, it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So there's another way. Number one, you can be just become one of the circumcision, be a proselyte. Number two, you can bless Israel. Number three, you can be submissive to Israel, take hold of him, the skirt of him that's called a Jew, and say, we'll go with you, we want you to teach us, and we'll be submissive to what God's doing with Israel. And we'll be a part, and we'll be submissive to it. Now, those three gates are the ways that Gentiles could get in time past. Our Lord, in His earthly ministry, lived under that system, and that is why He confined His ministry to the nation Israel. It's only when you come to the ministry of the Apostle Paul in your Bible that you find the Bible saying that there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon Him, for all have... That's it, see? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's only when you come to Paul that you have the fall of Israel, salvation going to the Gentiles. It's only when you come to Paul that you find that there is neither Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female, but we're all one in Christ. It's when you come to Paul's ministry in the Bible that the thing changes. Now, you don't have to be a part of a special nation. You don't have to participate in a special religion. You don't have to do special ceremonies. Now, all you need to come to God is to come simply by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jew, Gentile. There's no difference for all of sin. There's no difference for the same Lord over all as rich unto all who should call upon the name of the Lord. Now we're saved on the ground is level today. But that's not the message back there in time past. That's the message today. There's a difference between the two. Now next, on our next study together, we're going to try to look at something. Do you know how many Gentiles our Lord did minister to? He did minister to some. Do you know how many He ministered to? And why? Well, we're going to look at that next time. I challenge you. Study before our program comes on next time, take some time and think through and study through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and try to discover for yourself just how many Gentiles Christ ministered to in His earthly ministry. You'll be fascinated by the answer. Till then, fair enough.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Christ and the Gentiles. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 155. That's tape offer number 155. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.